Season 8, Episode 1, Flora, Fauna, and the Portaloo. Beware the Arachnoids. In this season opener of the Why Work podcast, we forgo the spreadsheets and go straight to storytelling. A toilet, a spider, and a young worker's unforgettable encounter with risk realities when faced with an arachnoid. It was up, close, and highly personal. Not once, but twice, exclaims Trage. What are the chances? Sometimes work gets weird, Alan laments, as he shares disarmingly intimate conversational snippets from his men's group. Sarah chimes, and that is where the truth lives. Enjoy this episode.
This is a track about the unanswered questions, a tale of life's trials and tribulations. I work towards better days, better pays, steering clear the trap of old ways, with the clear head navigate life like a maze.
Hello, and welcome to the Why Work podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
She just can't fight
I'm about to lose control.
Alan's about to lose control.
And he likes it.
Oh, that's a good echo there. Lovely. I'm going to talk about something which is more akin to this show, really, and that is I'm going to talk about toilets. The regulation.
We always
talk
so much
about toilets.
Yeah, we go to sex or toilets, like every single time we meet.
Like I've said, we reach the lowest watermark on this show. But what strikes me is I'm going to look at it from a governance regulatory perspective.
So is this on a case? Have you got a case that you're talking about? Or
set of facts. But the facts will segue neatly into the most recent.
So where do the facts come from?
The facts come from New South Wales, I think from Australia. But, in fact, I'll start with the facts because that then leads me into the Work Health and Safety Amenities for Construction Work Amendment Regulation. Now, remember, this is a regulation, so therefore it is a prescription. So, in other words...
All right, say it again. Work Health Safety Regulation what?
Work Health and Safety Amenities for Construction Work Amendment Regulation.
Which state?
Queensland.
Queensland.
In particularly, we're going to talk about toilets to be reasonably available.
Yes, and this came up in a recent Australian Institute of Health and Safety workshop where I was presenting just last week.
Well,
you were supposed to be there, Alan.
And
you were going to be my boyhood.
We talked about it before, too.
Very complex issues being discussed.
All right, let's do it.
How many toilets one should have. Anyway,
I digress.
But before I do that, I want to talk about the tradie who was bitten on his penis by a spider.
Oh, again. We have talked about this.
This was all over Australian news.
Yeah, we have talked about this.
I don't think we have.
No, Sarah, we talked to one of your colleagues at the conference where we did the workshop in Brisbane at the convention centre, one of the ergo chair people.
Yeah.
I was telling him about our show, and he said, did you hear about the tradie who got bitten in the portal?
So this was Wes, was it? Wes Wilkinson.
It could have been.
Yeah, I think so.
I've got his business card. No. Wes was part of the show. No, this is a paid sponsor. One of the people who would sit at the trade display
in
front.
Okay, all right.
And so it's sort of mean. I mean... morning tea, and before you know it, I'm talking about Why Work, and we're talking about
a spider
toilets.
Bite on the penis.
Now, he alerted me to this case. Unfortunately,
it's just in the media, isn't it? It didn't get any further.
It didn't get in there. However, I've done extensive media analysis, and I can say with some confidence that this did occur.
Did you interview the spider?
Yes.
Is the spider traumatised? That's right.
I feel about this. Well, yeah, so look, I'll just read this because this then leads me into the importance of talking about toilets. And in fact, it must be important because this state of ours has decided to regulate with some particularity around the importance of toilets at construction sites. So This is a thing.
It's not just construction sites. When you've told the story, I've been in another social group which has been discussing a similar sort of thing, but keep going.
Well, I want to talk about this because a 21-year-old tradie has been branded the unluckiest man in the world because after he was bitten on the penis by a spider for a second time. Yeah, so the facts were that this fellow was at a workplace in which a PCBU, a person conducting a business or undertaking, had a responsibility to ensure amenities were provided for their workers, i.e. a portaloo.
And pause, safe amenities, right? So yes. The assumption is that there are safe amenities.
Well, unless you're dealing with hygiene and possible sort of issues around uncleanliness of toilets. Ooh,
toilets have got all kinds of unsafe issues, yeah, potentially. No,
unless you're turning your mind to sanitising the toilet, you would reasonably expect the toilet to be safe.
It should be functioning, right? Yeah.
So in other words, it should be functioning. In other words, if I'm a tradie, I need a toilet because the law says so. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And this poor chap was bitten where one would be expected to be bitten, I suppose, when you go to the toilet for a legitimate reason.
Well,
it could be anywhere in that general area. It could be anywhere. But perineum. Unfortunately, the poor fellow was bitten on his penis. And
so this is the are you sitting, are you standing? Remember that whole argument?
Sitting.
I know. I'm just saying we had that whole debate about do you sit or do you stand?
Before you go on, see, I'm a member of a men's group, and the discussion came up that men are of all different shapes and sizes, and not every bowl is designed for every man. Some men find it quite uncomfortable sitting on the toilet.
Yep.
Because it's just the wrong shape. So when we hear about this young tradie being bitten, you can't jump to any conclusions as to what the geometry was.
I want to know about this men's group. This sounds great. This is a very honest men's group.
It was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And some of the things that came out is the discomfort that can be felt.
Well, irrespective of the circumference of the toilet.
I think it's more the shape.
Irrespective of the shape, clearly the redback spider.
It was a redback?
It was a redback spider.
Hmm.
Clearly the redback spider had no issue with the toilet's design.
Because it would hang there. It was the spider's hood.
So it's obviously felt defensive and attacked.
Well, they're an aggressive fellow. Animal.
Yeah, so clearly
arachnoid?
Yes.
So the arachnid was just probably minding its own business and it's been attacked. It's attacked this poor fellow. And the fact that he's been bitten twice in the same location.
Same spider?
Yeah. Well, it could be. It could be a family, a colony of spiders. Right. I don't know.
Go clean out the spiders the first time, right?
Here's the thing. It's repeated. So that's the mechanism of injury. Now, my mind boggles because this is a 21-year-old, I presume, healthy, strapping, fit young man. Now, let's say this were me. I can't speak for you, Alan, because you look like a picture of health. But let's say I'm there and then a supervening event occurs, i.e., I panic, I freak, I fall and I bump my head on the toilet roll or I just get a heart attack.
Before or after the spider bite?
During the whole process. Or I just see the spider and I freak out and I do myself a mischief and that mischief results in a fatality, technically.
Work is responsible.
And suddenly you may be no longer dealing with what appeared to be a laughable, because according to the media, it was all presented in a very, and even the poor fellow was too embarrassed to reveal his name.
Right.
So you've gone from,
it was extremely painful.
It was very painful, but he's still embarrassed. But let's just say that were me and I passed as a result of this, you could suddenly be looking at an industrial manslaughter.
Certainly if a second bite. It becomes very concerning because you've got prior warning.
What was your action?
Or reckless? My point is, or a Section 32 at the very minimum. But suddenly this funny matter can become a very serious matter because when you're living in Australia.
For our
listeners who are, for example, in New Zealand and other places.
US.
Who don't know what funnel webs or redbacks are, or dare I say, what if this were a taipan? Or a brown snake, an eastern brown coiled under the lid.
Yeah.
You're dealing with some serious stuff.
So as a horrible child, I'd often be out west. in Western Queensland and would tease and taunt redbacks. And I know from that background that they're very aggressive and they move quite fast. They have messy webs. So if the web was up under the lip of the bowl, then you might not actually see it. So it could fit into
weird spaces.
You might not see it. But if it felt threatened, I think it would have no trouble whatsoever leaping out and biting the young tradie. So
the point of whether this was the same loo, same port-a-loo, is quite important, because did the workplace go inspect, clean, investigate for any arachnoids?
Yeah, you have to. If you see one, flora, you have to clean it all out.
Interestingly, and I'm glad you raised that, to be fair to those managers on the ground, these toilets, plural, because, you know, they get picked up, they get hired. Yeah, they are cleaned and they are serviced.
Daily?
So it's not like they were languishing out in the middle of nowhere.
Daily?
What we can reveal from this is they had been cleaned prior to use. So, no, I think that's not the issue in itself, but nobody perhaps would have turned their minds to a spider or something dangerous living or nesting. It could have been just a quick wipe. Oh, I've done it. I've done the toilet, using a wet wipe or whatever. But, of course, this particular scenario reminds me of that Slim Dusty song.
Which is?
There's a red bag on the toilet seat.
So it ought to be known if it's tested. It's foreseeable. It's credible in the court of law.
I'd be leading Slim Dusty.
I'd play that song if I was the lawyer.
I'd be playing it. But isn't that funny? And you might think, what's the probability of this occurring? I guess my response would be, you're out in the heat in Australia, and these spiders are known to hide in life. And redback's part of life. So it's not, whereas if you're in another nation or New Zealand or wherever where you just don't have redbacks, or I think any other spider for that matter, you might think, hardly unlikely. But it was just a fascinating story, because that leads me then into toilets are considered by the legislature. And just a couple of months ago, this work health and safety amenities amendment regulation.
That's a mouthful. Amenities amendment
was legislation has been enlivened, and it's more. But what it's about, it's not about keeping toilets clean, because that's expected as an on-site manager to ensure that that is. But really, it's on to decide whether toilets are reasonably available.
So access for men and women, right?
Yes, duty. It's a duty, and this is what I love, this regulation. It's a duty, not an obligation, a duty to ensure toilets are reasonably available. But this is the one that really, it sort of piqued my interest, required minimum number of toilets.
How do they work this out? What's the size of the construction project? How do they calculate this?
That's what it does. There is a formula, because this is a regulation.
There was always a formula and a code of practice, which I think referred to an Australian standard, but have they now transferred that into the regulation?
Because I've been out on roadworks projects, asphalt roadworks construction projects, with no loos whatsoever. Mm. So the guys just whip it out behind the truck.
Yeah.
And the woman's like, hang on. I'm like, turn around, guys, right?
Well, it is designed to actually address that, Sarah. For example, in terms of a room and sheltered areas to eat meals, and I'm sure a lot of this might also relate to heat exhaustion, heat stress, I beg your pardon. So, for example, the room or sheltered area must be hygienic and separated from work activity if there are at least 15 construction persons have adequate space. So this regulation, which is quite a thick document, it prescribes and specifies numbers, limits.
Would it cover things like restaurants?
No. It talked about on-site
projects.
So it talks about accessibility. Okay.
Pause for a moment. Let's actually think about the realities of construction, because there's often different project partners. So whoever's masterminding this has to be aware, like Mary would have done for logistics of your partner, Alan Mary, understanding. Company X is going to be here, the Bobcat rental company is going to be here, and always knowing what that party mix would be to see if they have to adhere to these regulations, right? It's not like it's just your own company doing one thing. You've got multiple project partners. Then you might have the government regulators, you might have Department of Main Roads show up, so suddenly that mix is just dynamic. It's always changing is what I'm getting at.
So I'd say the person responsible would be like the person in control. So it would be like a Section 21 of the Work Health and Safety Act. So if you're on the ground running, you would expect, all right, Sarah's coming today.
The project manager.
So there would be expected, What I find fascinating about this very detailed document is it even defines what sanitary bins are and that they must be placed. And it actually talks about requirements about accessibility of designated female toilets. So a designated female toilet must have a sign attached to the block. So, I mean, stuff and that perhaps I would have taken as common sense.
LGBTI, DEI. So all my abbreviations for diversity and inclusivity. So now how do we address that? Because you talked about that in a previous episode, Trish, about what do you do for somebody who identifies as female.
Is that amazing? Because
tickle for giggle for girls.
Well, I find that very interesting. There's nothing in the regulation.
Oh, what a lame cop-out, because we want some specificity, right?
So it's going to be interesting because this document itself could attract some criticism,
right,
and indeed could attract some legal attention in terms of human rights.
Does it talk about this. Handicapped people?
Yeah, exactly.
Does it talk about
access?
Someone in a wheelchair will have special needs.
I am, and you know, Alan, what a fascinating, what a very pertinent question.
So they've only addressed male and female. By
that
construction
binary
size.
Type of, I cannot see a reference to.
Well, okay, so there's a few.
Alan, Sarah, you've opened up a can of worms.
We love it. So as long as it's not redback spiders. So as there's a lot of opportunities here. So if you are the person who rents and supplies toilet facilities, how cool! Suddenly you can change to having male, female, and disability access toilets. Boom, right? It's a trio. It's no longer a solo. It's a trio. Every package is a trio. And if you are a project manager, why bother calculating, hopefully we'll just get away with only 12 people on site today. If we got 15, just plan for lots of dynamic variation and just go ahead and supply them, right? Full stop.
Well, I have to say, there is a lot of information about hand dryers, about sanitary bins, the definition of, and the proximity about a standalone female toilet. Now, there is a non-designated means of toilet other than a female toilet, but
so
it doesn't say.
So there is an other, but other. It's up to you to interpret what the other is.
Yes. So there's that fine mix of prescription as well as self-regulation. So, you know, you work, here's the law, we're telling you this, but then you can work out what other,
And then if that other isn't really clearly about disability access, that is a challenge. Does it have railings? Does it have, you know, whatever?
It doesn't detail.
Yes, that's right. Are there steps? Are there ramps? Are there what?
Wow, that's a really important question. And in fact, I remember that when I was talking about my work in England, when I suggested perhaps we create the...
Actively discriminated.
No, I was just trying to be pragmatic. I was the commercial lawyer. So... But that's fascinating.
Even the door opening. What type of disability are you talking about? Sorry, there's a lot of different
you've
variations.
Really opened something up. And I'd like our listeners to sort of further reflect on this because this
it's a bit of a shame. It was a good opportunity to capture all
to
this.
To get this right.
Sensational opportunity. I cannot find, and if someone corrects me, but no, I cannot see any reference to non-binary humans, and I cannot see any reference to persons who identify with a defined disability pursuant to the Disability Act.
And why keep it narrowed down to construction sites? Why not?
So this talks about construction. Person in relation to construction project.
Different legislation, but will it roll out into mining? Because I've gone into underground mining, there are no lees whatsoever, and I'm deep in the mud and the guys just squat. Well, it's like...
Oh, I didn't know that thing.
Yeah. It's just behind machinery down the hall. It's all dark, so whatever, they just go. I'm sloshing around in my galoshes or whatever, going, ew, ew.
See, we're raising this, and it might, maybe they'd be rolling their eyes or wondering.
That was overseas, by the way.
Thanks for clarifying that.
That's right.
But you know, then if that's the case overseas, and given we're supposed to be living in this advanced civil society, the fact that people are turning their minds to designating and defining toilets in the year 2024. What have we achieved? if we're having to have legislators make laws, if this can't be worked out pragmatically, I think we're in trouble, Houston.
Well, see, when you get, I don't imagine it's a big issue on construction sites, but in other workplaces, you might need a toilet where a carer can go into the toilet with the person.
Oh, this is true.
That you and are raising might, is absolutely relevant.
And then they might argue, well, hang on, it's construction, and we're going to talk about who it includes and who it excludes, and it won't often have people with disabilities. However, I'm just playing advocate on the other side, right? Pros and cons. However, there have been a lot of solutions to make equipment, even agriculture equipment, to make this more accessible for people with different disabilities. So it's a thing. It's a thing.
And, you know, working with Children Code and young people, anyone under 16, they are workers who are children, effectively. I'm just like, I'm throwing it out there. We've dealt with...
Because there's apprentices that are young.
Yeah. So people who necessarily do not identify with male or female in terms of that type of binary code, we're dealing with people who have a recognised disability, and you're dealing with young people. And then, Alan, you've added to the mix, what if there is a carer who's required to assist that person at the workplace? I hadn't appreciated that. I just thought, wasn't that great? We've made such progress that we finally got a regulation, which, I mean, I can't believe we've had to actually regulate, but we finally resolved the issue of having reasonable facilities for females, but this has opened up other doors.
But prior to that regulation, there was a fair bit of effort working out what your numbers need to be.
Yeah.
You had to trace it through, and it wasn't simple.
So there's that quantitative aspect, but now we're dealing with the qualitative dimension. Boy, work's a complex arena, isn't it?
Track about the unanswered questions, a tale of life's trials and tribulations. I work towards better days, better pays, steering clear the trap of old ways. With the clear head, navigate life like a maze. Dedicated.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe. And we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases, and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.